right. Let's give the band a round of applause. That was good stuff. I want to be in the band someday. They won't let me. Hey, I am really excited to be with you guys this morning. I'm not going to stand up there because I'm 6'12 already, and if I'm standing up there like that, you guys will think I'm the world's largest man, and so we won't do that. But hey, David asked me if I would come share this morning, and I don't get a chance to hang with you guys very much. For those of you who don't know who I am, is there anyone? Thank you. That means a lot. There's one of you that knows who I am. I direct the high school ministry, and kind of I'm David's boss. That's what I tell people. And so I thought today we'd start off by, if you'd like to say something bad about David, I'm going to bring you up here, and you can share anything that you don't like about him. Okay? He makes really bad jokes. I'm just kidding. We're not really doing that. You guys are like, I want to say some stuff. You know, I'm kidding around about sharing about him, but I want to tell you today, I'm gonna give you a couple things that I think, if I would have known these back when I was in junior high, it would have really helped me. In fact, it's a couple things that if I would know them now and I'd live by them, it would really help me. There was a guy named Todd Sossaman, okay? Great name. Little kid that I lived down the street from, and Todd was a guy that we picked on a little bit. He was a guy that we might say things like we might say about David if I gave you all a chance. And Todd was one of my friends, but as I look back at Todd and my relationship, I realize a lot of the time I wasn't very kind to him. And there was a friend of mine named Kevin Roki, and Kevin came down, and we lived in Kansas at that time, and we lived in a yard with a lot of big trees. And I remember in the fall, the leaves would come down, and we'd rake up these leaves into big piles, and we would jump in them. Anybody ever done that? It's pretty good times. I recommend it. And so I can remember Kevin coming over, and we decided this pile of leaves was so big that we could hide in these leaves. And so I had Kevin hide in the leaves, and then I invited Todd over, okay? And with Todd, I decided that what I would do with mess with him is I said, hey, what I'll do is when he comes over, I'll start talking bad about you and see if he goes along with it. Isn't that a nice thing to do? And so I said, hey, when he came over, I was like, man, can you believe Kevin? Man, he's a real jerk. And he goes, yeah, he is. And he starts saying all this stuff about Kevin. Kevin's hidden in the leaves right underneath him. Okay? Pretty soon after he bagged on Kevin for a while, Kevin comes jumping out of leaves and tackles him. And he was really mad at us and frustrated and left home, and his big word was he'd call us dumb heads and stupid heads, okay? Hey, dumb heads, that's what he'd call us as he ran off. And I only tell you that story because it was just a mean thing to do. It just was, and I want to tell you today that if I could give you guys a bit of encouragement, here's what I believe about junior high and high school, and even for those of us who are older, our language with each other is that the way that we get along with each other or the way that we handle ourselves around each other is we love to make fun of each other and mess with each other. And if you go, man, that's what I do. And you know, most of the time, I'm going to tell you today that I believe there's a real key reason why we do that. But before we get there, you guys have been going in 2 Timothy, and you've been studying that, and I could not think, and our seniors go through that book, and we really dive into it. And the reason we dive into 2 Timothy is because we believe it's a book that really prepares you to be someone who is a real follower of Christ who really shares their faith and is not ashamed of them. And acts in a way, hopefully, that others will be drawn to him. So let's look at 2 Timothy 3. I know you guys have gone through 1 and 2. Let's look at a verse from 2 Timothy 3 here to start us off. Okay? I want you to read this, and I want you to think about what I just said about the way that I treated Todd and the way that you guys might treat your friends now some. I hope this isn't true, but as I look at my life, sometimes it's true of me. It says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous and rash and conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. I'm only going to key in on a couple of those today. But what the reality is that there are times when I feel like, man, I can move towards those things really easily. The first ones that I want to see, that people will be lovers of themselves. Here's what I believe is the reason we like to make fun of other people is because we love me some me. You ever heard that saying? Love me some me. Okay, and when we are doing a good job of loving ourselves, which I'm saying that facetiously, that's a big word, we'll talk about it later. When I say that, I mean that we are making a mistake. When we love, we make fun of other people. Me and a buddy of mine would, when we were, a guy named Chris Goins, who leads worship with me at Senior High Shoreline, when we would dog each other, he goes, "You feel better, don't you?" That's what we'd say, "You feel better." And the reality is, that's many times why we make fun of somebody, why we are saying things to people that really tear them down, because it makes us feel better. Here's the reality. When we make fun of other people, the reality is we are very insecure. Okay, we are really worried about what people think about us. And so instead of letting someone say something about us, we get our defenses up and we start talking about other people. And I want to tell you, that does not represent Christ. Well, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive. Abusive is one that I think of. Many times we are abusing each other with our words. Man, I get on high school students about that because I believe that that is one that, just tears people down. Look at what Paul says later should be like, 2 Timothy 3, as we go on, 14 and 15. But as for you, I love that first line. But as for you, you're to be different. Okay, those of you guys who claim to be a follower of Christ, some of you would in here and some of you wouldn't, maybe. I hope many of you would. If you don't know him, I'd love to talk to you about him. But let me just tell you, but as for you, that means he's making a clarification here. It's not, you're not supposed to be like those folks. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Guys, if you read the Scripture talks about us not being abusive and those things, but it tells us to encourage each other. And so I want to tell you, as we talk about this, it's your turn. Let me tell you, it is your turn to represent Christ. And this is an area specifically that I want you to work on. I'm working on it all the time. My words, even to my wife, who I love more than anybody on this in this world, sometimes are just poor. And they don't encourage her, they tear her down. They take life from her. And I don't want to be that guy. So it's your turn to represent Christ. Here's a great verse, Ephesians 5. I think we have that one on there. I love this verse. It tells you to do this. Is that one on there, Lisa? Next one? What's our next slide there? Okay, there you go. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. If you guys are spending all your time, the way you communicate with your friends, even your friends, and all you do is tear them down, you are not making the most of every opportunity. You are not living as wise. Here's what I believe, is that you guys need to be people, and I want to be people who are marked by the way I encourage, not by the way I tear people down. Everybody around you, the common language is to tear people down and take life from them. And so I want you to be people who are not doing that, okay? Look at Ephesians 4:29 here. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Some of you guys have memorized this verse probably, and you thought about this verse, and the you thought is, I just don't want to cuss. I'm just not going to cuss, okay? That's the way you look at it. That could be true. I don't think any cussing is probably going to go, man, you cussed at me, and you must love Jesus, okay? I get that. But what it says here is, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. If you want to be someone who represents Christ, you ought to think about, what could I say to other people that would build them up? And let me tell you something, dogging them all the time and making fun of them does not build them up. And I just want to tell you this, sometimes, let me give you this one thing, sometimes kidding around is a fun thing, you do it with people you really like, they know your heart. We tease Melissa a ton, okay? And Melissa knows that we care a ton about her, that she's a good friend. There's a difference in that, but if you're just doing it to make yourself feel more secure, or you're doing it because you're really trying to prove a point, sometimes we kid around, we want people to change, and we say, oh, you're always like that, and we kind of can, then we put the little laugh on the end. And so I just want to tell you, man, building up others according to their needs. If you want to benefit those who listen, let me just tell you, if you could curtail it just a little bit, if you could slow down a little bit in the area of the way you dog each other out, I would really encourage you. It'll be something that will bless you. I'm always telling my sons about stuff like this, and I always tell them, if you'll listen to Daddy here, if you'll listen, you will be blessed because God will honor that. But if you don't, there's going to be pain. You're going to cause others pain, and you're going to cause yourself pain. Here's the thing. If you're a person, I'm going to give you a little hint here. If you're a person that all you do is tear others down, people aren't going to want to be around you. And here's the thing. If we're a follower of Christ, shouldn't we want people to rub shoulders with us? Shouldn't we want people to know the Savior that we love? Shouldn't we want them to be in close proximity with us? And if all we do is put up our defenses by dogging them all the time, then we missed it. So it's your turn to be someone who encourages. There's a great line in Acts I want to read, and this one isn't on our deal, Lisa. But Acts talks about a guy named Barnabas. And you guys know Barnabas was known for what? Anybody know? Encouragement. Okay? He was known for encouragement. But you know, that wasn't Barnabas' real name, which I love. And here's what it says in Acts 4:36, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means sons of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. The apostles called him something else. You know why? Because he was about encouraging. Here's my question for you. If someone said your name, what would be the tagline? Would they say, you know what? When I think about them, I just think they're just encouragers. They love Christ. Man, they are someone who loves others well. They serve people. Would they say that about you? Or would they say, you know what? When I think about that guy, he's a jerk. Okay? When I think about the way he treats others, all he thinks about is himself. That guy, would they say maybe some good things? That guy or that girl is the neatest Christian. They love Christ, and you know what? They love others really well. Wouldn't you love it if people called you by that? Wouldn't you love it if people said, when they associated with your name, that kind of tagline, the son of encouragement? Now, hey, look, I know tomorrow at school, and I'm going to, you know what? I was thinking about your name. You're the son of encouragement. They're not going to say that to you tomorrow, probably. But I would tell you, some people, I guarantee you, people say your name right now, and they have something that follows it that they think of. Wouldn't it be great if one of them was, man, that guy loves Christ. The reason I know is because he serves others. That girl loves Christ, and the way that they don't talk bad about people, the way that they're always encouraging. Here's the thing, encouragement is a really strange thing. We don't naturally do it. I want you to think right now in your mind, when's the last time you specifically encouraged somebody at your school? That you went up to them and you said, hey, I don't want to tell you something. When I see something in you, I just want to tell you, you are the kindest person. I hope I can be more like you. That'd be really encouraging. And I wonder if we ever do that. But think about on the opposite, how many times that you go, man, I've done some great making fun of folks this last week, but I haven't encouraged them much. So if we're going to be someone that we'd say, man, it's my turn to step up and represent Christ, that's an area that I think we could take a lot of ground in. I can remember a guy at one time, I played high school and college basketball, and in high school, I can remember playing, and I really worked hard when I was playing to not get frustrated to a point where I kind of crushed my witness. Sometimes I wasn't the best. Hopefully a lot of the times I was. And I can remember a dad specifically coming and encouraging me. I remember this like it's yesterday, and I'm an old dude. Okay, I'm real old. I'm like 62, all right? I look younger than that, but because I run and I take Geritol. But anyway, I would tell you that I can remember this dad come up to me and he said, hey, I want to tell you something. He goes, my son watches you on the court and we are so encouraged by the way that you don't get mad at the refs, that you encourage others, that you're a good sport. And I can remember thinking, man, that was so encouraging. I still remember it like it was yesterday. It was because he came and encouraged me. Wouldn't it be great if junior high folks got really serious about encouraging others? If a mark of folks from Watermark or from who love Christ, if people would say, man, you just encourage people a lot, I'd love for that to be a mark of this group. Not the end times we talk about, mark this, you'll be like this, disobedient, abusive, you know, haters, all that stuff. But no, they'd say, but as for you, you guys are encouragers. Wouldn't that be awesome if that was the mark of this group? Here, let me take you through real quick. What does tearing down bring? Okay? You guys, this isn't going to be earth-shattering, but I'll tell you the first thing that I thought about. Tearing down, it would bring this, that it would bring defensiveness. Okay? You guys know that? When you tear somebody down or you're messing with them, first thing they want to do is go, hey, they'll jab right back at you, right? So it brings defensiveness. The other thing it brings is insecurity. We just talked about that. We're all insecure at some level, by the way. We all are. But you're just going to foster that in that person. If you just keep dogging them, they're going to start going, man, I'm even more insecure than I was. And the third thing is that it brings sorrow. I can tell you this. I was a guy that when I was in junior high, about seventh grade, I can remember some fellas dogging me about something. And I'm going to tell you, it affected me big time. In fact, we moved when I went in eighth grade, and I was so glad we were moving because guys that were jacking with me about stuff were making fun. And it, you know, here I was an athlete and all those things you kind of find security in, but I'm going to tell you, it bothered me. And I can remember it bothered me so much that there was one guy on my basketball team that when I got a little better at basketball when I moved to Oklahoma, I wanted to go back to Kansas and go whip him in one-on-one. Okay, that's what I wanted to do, and I did, okay? And you know what? I didn't feel that much better, but I remember that going through my mind of, I'm going to go show him what's up because he caused me a lot of pain. And you know what? That was not the best way to end it, but I'm going to tell you, when you dog people, it really does impact them. That was impacting on my life early on in junior high. So man, don't let that be part of your story, that you're the one that caused a lot of pain and you had the people you hung around with, they just wanted to move because they didn't want to be around you anymore. Because all you did was tear them down. Man, don't let that be your story. What does building others up bring? Okay, if you're someone that encouraged this week, I'm going to tell you this. There will be things like security. Okay, people will go, man, that person cares about me. They're actually thinking about me rather than themselves. It'll also bring joy. Okay, I don't know anybody that if you went and encouraged them, they'll go, man, would you quit encouraging me so much? Okay, they're going to go, man, that makes me feel good about myself. That's a good thing. Be about others. And the third thing is it brings confidence, and a healthy confidence, not a confidence that, you know, when we get insecure, here's what we do. We many times, insecurity breeds sin. Okay, we start trying to be something we're not. We try to start living up so people will like us. We try to be, maybe we say certain words or we treat people a certain way so that we'll be fit in. And I'm going to tell you, don't be someone that fosters that. Don't be someone that encourages that. Here's the second thing today. So one is to be about encouraging. The second thing is to be, it is your turn to be about forgiveness. Man, I don't know where you guys are at with forgiveness. There may be right now, you guys have people right now that you are so mad at, that you're harboring such anger towards, and it's just killing you. And it will. It will take life from you. These guys this week, it was the coolest story. We were sitting in our office this week, these two guys from Africa that we've been working with over there. I say we, not me specifically, but our church. Some guys have gone over there, and they are working with these guys, and they talked about how these tribes in Africa are battling, and they talked about how these guys had family members killed from someone who lived 100 meters from them. And this guy talked about how his life, for four straight years, he plotted how he was going to kill the kids of this guy who killed his family. And that he was consumed with it. And he just was going to get him back. And because that was the way they operated over there. Man, you do something to me and I'm going to get you back. You know, we're not much different. Boy, you dog me out, I'm going to dog you out. You do something to me, I'm going to be mean to you. It's just kind of the way, and it's a really futile way to live in a silly way, but that's the way we do it until the Spirit of the Lord grabs our heart and changes us. But this guy, in the middle, after his 4 years of plotting to kill this guy and his family, all of a sudden he goes, man, he comes to know Christ. And guess what God convicts him about? Hey, you've got to go and forgive that guy for killing some people in your family. Can you imagine what that would be like? And so he goes and not only does he tell this guy he's going to forgive him, he goes to him and he says, hey, I need to ask your forgiveness for harboring to want to kill your family. I have killed them in my mind over and over and over, and I want to ask your forgiveness. Do you think that guy said a whole lot? This is what the guy said. He said the guy stood there speechless. And a couple days later, he comes back to him and says, after he goes, I have not been able to sleep for 2 days. He goes, I need to ask your forgiveness for what I did. This changed this guy's life. They now have a friendship. Can you imagine that? And I'm going to tell you, we don't do that on our own. We don't do that unless Christ allows. The Scripture tells us to forgive of you as you have been forgiven. That's the only way we can forgive others. When you start to look at people through a different lens, you put on some glasses maybe that say, man, I'm someone who's failed and messed up and I've been forgiven. Now I can forgive others. That will change people's life. Look what unforgiveness, I want to tell you again, this, you know, if you're harboring right now, this is what it brings. Okay, the first thing, it brings bitterness. Okay? You guys know, when you don't forgive somebody, how do you act around them? Different, right? Businesslike. You don't want to talk to them. You avoid them. And it caused you to be so bitter that you can't think about anything else but getting back at them. And I'm going to tell you, that is a chains kind of deal. That's going to wrap you up and you will not feel freedom. Second thing, you're going to feel angry. This anger that burns inside of you. And I don't think the Lord wants us to be angry all the time. Some of you right now are full of a lot of anger. And man, whoever you're, it's, if you really were honest, you say, man, I'm angry towards this person. Maybe it's your parents. Maybe it's a friend that lied about you or did something. Maybe whatever it is, doesn't mean that you shouldn't go and talk to him about it. It just means that you should be willing to forgive. The third thing is that there's an inability to love. When I have unforgiveness in my life, I can't love people the way Christ wants me to love them. And it's really a hard, hard way to live. So let me tell you this. Here's what forgiveness brings. Here's the opposite. And again, I hope you guys are looking at this going, man, that's what I want. Forgiveness brings this. It brings freedom. When you're not wrapped up in bitterness and everything, you can be around folks and go, man, I've forgiven them. I'm going to tell you this. Years ago, a girl that I worked with told me, you know what, Bron? You really struggle with giving people a second chance. So you're great with being nice to them until they fail you, and then it's hard for you to give them a second chance. I'm really praying, and I'm really working on that in my life, that I be someone who forgives, that bring me freedom. Second thing, it brings peace, that you'll have a rest about you, okay, that you won't be so wrapped up in it. And the third thing is that you'd have the ability to love. Isn't that what we're supposed to be about? Love is the greatest gift. Love, in Colossians, says it's the perfect bond of unity. Love never what? What does the scripture say? Fails. So if you have an inability to love because you can't forgive people, you need to ask the Lord. Here, how does it happen? I'm going to tell you, it will not happen. You're just going, I just want to forgive them. I'm just going to make myself forgive. Okay? It won't happen like that. The way it'll happen is if you ask the Lord, Lord, help me to forgive. Help me, and then help me to ask forgiveness. Someone who's about forgiveness, not only do you maybe need to forgive somebody, you may need to go to somebody. Right now, the Lord's convicting you about something you've done to somebody. Maybe the first thing we talked about, how you dog people all the time, and you need to go tell them. Can you say, hey, will you forgive me for the way that I have just been someone who messes with you and makes fun of you? You want to talk about something that would impact somebody's life for Christ, do that. Forgiveness and asking forgiveness is one of the biggest things. You know why? Because it's exactly what happened on the cross. It's where forgiveness happened, and it changed you and me. I'm going to show you guys a video here, and I want you to know this. This is from a few years back, probably 9-10 years ago. But it's a story of forgiveness, and I want you to see it's about a guy who had a family member of his killed by somebody. And he was wrestling with, Lord, how would you help me to respond to this person? Let's watch.
I came to a point in my life where I knew that I had to do something with the hatred and the anger that was within me. It was consuming me. All I wanted to do was to destroy things and kill people. I was being just as bad as the ones that destroyed my family. Well, there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about forgiveness, and it's in the Lord's Prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, it says, we will be forgiven as we forgave. And that one little statement right there taught me a valuable lesson that if I want to be forgiven, I've got to learn how to forgive. Well, when I learned that, I cried out to the Lord. I said, Lord, I can't do this. And he says, well, Ron, you're right. You can't. But through me, you can. I was talking to a friend of mine on the phone one night, and I was been talking to him a lot about Carla Faye Tucker. And he said, well, you know she's in town, don't you? And I said, yeah, I know that. And he says, well, you ought to go down there and just give her a piece of your mind. Of course, he didn't know where I was at and what I was thinking. And I told him, I said, well, I've been thinking about doing something just like that. And I slammed the phone down. I go up to the 12th floor of the Harris County Jail. I fill out a slip. I stand there and I wait. Next thing I know, here comes Carla Faye Tucker walking up to this class.
And I walk up to her, and she looks at me, and she says, "Who are you?" And I look at her, and all I say is, "I'm the brother of Deborah." She looks at me again, but then it's like, "Who are you?" You know, she knows who I am, but she can't believe what's going on. And I tell her the same thing, "I'm the brother of Deborah." At that point, she starts to cry. In the middle of all of that, I'm interrupting her saying, "Carla, whatever comes out of all of this, I just want you to know that I forgive you and I don't hold anything against you." Then it was about that time that the guards, they thought I was, you know, causing a problem. They were fixing to come pull me out of there, and they were fixing to come pull her out. Well, she was waving them off, telling them, "No, no, leave us alone, everything's fine." It was at that point when I told her, "I forgive you and I don't hold anything against you," that's when that hatred and that anger was taken away. It was like a great weight was lifted off of my shoulders.
It's unbelievable that he could forgive you for killing his sister.
It's definitely,
it affected me.
It's amazing, you know, and if people never believe me, they can't possibly look at Peggy and Ron and not believe that, you know, not believe God in them, because they couldn't do it any other way. So
you guys heard it right there. I love that last slide there, the power of forgiveness. When we forgive people, the only way we can do it, even when they've done something like that, here's a guy who, a lady killed his sister, and he went and said, "Look, I forgive you." And that only happens, think about Jesus on the cross, as people were spitting on him, as people were mocking him and beating him, and he says, what did he say? "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." So the most incredible picture of forgiveness was Christ, and I hope you guys will be pictures of that. My question for you is to talk to somebody about, if you're really harboring something or if you're struggling with unforgiveness, man, talk to your parents. If it's about your parents, that's a great place to talk to them. Just be humble and say, "Man, I'm really struggling. I want to." If you need to talk to one of us as leaders, go, "Man, this is an area that I want to grow in because I've been harboring stuff and I'm bitter and I'm angry and it plays out with my family." And let me tell you, there is freedom in forgiveness. You heard what he said. He said, "When I forgave, that took away the hate and the anger. It was finally released." Look at these last couple verses, Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's real clear, isn't it? Calls us to be about forgiveness. Last verse, Matthew 6:14. "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Man, he who has been forgiven much loves much. That's what the scripture says. So man, sum it all up. I pray this week you guys will be folks that are about building up others, that you will be an encourager, not a discourager, that you will be people this week that are about forgiveness. If you've been harboring stuff and it's been keeping you bitter and tied up and you don't have freedom to love people the way you want to, man, go to them and get right. First, go to the Lord and say, "Lord, help me." And secondly, go to them. Man, I wish somebody when I was in junior high would have told me to quit dogging folks. Okay? And don't take that at legalism that you can't have fun with friends. But know this, that don't waste your time. Make the most of every opportunity that you have. Don't live as unwise, but as wise. And I hope that's a mark of this group. Some of you guys are coming up into high school next year. I'll be loving hanging with you guys every week. I'm going to tell you, I hope you'll bring that with you. You'll be folks that are encouraging. Those are about forgiveness. Those who are taking your turn to lead with us. Let me pray. Lord, thanks for this morning. Thanks for each young person here. It's not by chance. I'm just reminded of this. It's not by chance that you have them here. It's not by chance that they heard this message. And I know this about your word. It never returns void. It means it's going to, when it hits, when they start to hear it, you're going to use it for your purposes. So, Lord, would you soften my heart and the hearts of these young people, just in the area of forgiveness, in the areas of encouragement, and most of all, that they would be able to be taught by you, by your word, by your spirit. Pray they'd have a much better week in the way they represent you, and that others would be marked their lives as something different and something that's life-giving, not life-taking. Thanks for the opportunity that it's our turn to lead out and to represent you because you took your turn on the cross, and we're thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, last thing, just announcements-wise, I know that you guys, let me encourage you.